This is Micah Weber from Overland Under Budget, and you're listening to The Builder Session.
Welcome to The Builder Sessions, a podcast where we chat with your favorite builders.
We get to know them, their stories, and hopefully inspire you to get off the couch and build something cool. I'm Hoff.
And I'm Rosie.
And on this episode, we have Micah Weber from Overland Under Budget.
We talk about thinking outside the box, using the tools you have at your disposal, and the impact something as simple as Lego can have on one's creativity.
Please enjoy our interview with Micah.
Micah, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on here. I think it's something I'm probably never going to get used to, is being asked to be on a podcast.
Well, for those of our listeners who don't know who you are, you want to tell them a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So my name's Micah Weber. I've got a 2001 Toyota Tacoma that has been around the internet quite a bit the last year and a half. And mostly that has to do with me showing my projects, kind of the stuff I've been working on in the garage, relating to the truck. And I think that's kind of the intro there. I've just always been a DIY type of guy. I love building stuff, making stuff. So when I finally got a truck, it was just a natural progression. And I started sharing what I was doing on my truck through social media on my Instagram account. And now we're here. It's a year and a half later.
It's only been a year and a half, hey?
Or I think it's been longer than that, because I just posted something today that was, I think, in the beginning. I think I got the truck February 2019.
Okay.
So it's now 20, yeah, so 3 years, I guess.
So did you have a background? Like, what was your background before the Tacoma build?
Background in vehicles, or just background?
Just background. Myself? Yeah. In general, like, what did you do before the build?
Both. Yeah. So, before the Tacoma, I'll start from the beginning. I mean, I don't have any special background, like no engineering, no classical schooling on, any of fabrication things or engineering, but just as a kid, I grew up around cars. I grew up around vehicles, really. So lived on a farm for a while, and was around tractors, was around dirt bikes, logging machines. My dad grew up around tons of motorcycles. So we had motorcycles in our childhood too. Just like grew up with a strong connection to all things motor, all things powered, and all things on wheels. So that was kind of like my background to all things vehicles. And then I also grew up heavily building Legos all the time. So my brothers and I are siblings. That was like one thing we just did that was like probably the core like activity that we did in the house. Like, if we weren't like drawing, or we weren't like, reading books, we were building Legos for the most part. And most of them were like Technic Lego sets. So Lego sets that had like gears, shocks, and we just kind of go off and build our own thing. So I was literally building four-wheel drive vehicles since I was like 10 years old, but out of Legos.
Yeah. I noticed you build a transmission out of Technic. I saw that on Instagram.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Shifting the gears into a bigger, different ratio. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably more technically, it's like better described as a transfer case, because it was really only two or three gears. But
well, don't sell yourself short. Kind of, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I'm like 33 years old, and I like to play with Legos a lot. So,
hey, me too.
That's my background.
but look what that did, though, right? It kind of gave you some skills and the creativity of, hey, let's build something, or there's a problem, let's build a solution. And I think you mentioned that a little bit earlier too, kind of learning as you go, and you didn't necessarily have a background in a certain trade, but you went out and did it. And I think that speaks volumes to lots of people can be scared of taking that risk of, oh, I don't know how to do this, so I'm not going to do it. And you just jumped right in and like, look what you made. It's awesome.
Yeah. I don't want to oversell the Lego thing, but I think really it's probably one of the biggest factors besides, you know, a great family environment growing up and great parents who really encouraged me to do that kind of stuff and around automotive stuff and my dad working on cars. And we worked with him, you know, like we swapped motors, we restored some cars, we all that kind of stuff growing up. That's a huge part of the vehicle part. But as far as like the building part, yeah, the Legos play a huge part in that because when you're building something and using Legos, you're not looking for like, oh, I need a roof rack, you know, or, oh, I need a whatever it may be. It's like, you're just looking at shapes and pieces that may fit what you have in mind and be able to create what you're looking for. So I think that that's like a great starting point for people looking to do their own building. I think it gives you a really good perspective and a really good lens to look at how to build stuff. Like you want to build something, and instead of going and it really opens your mind to like, I usually go down to the hardware store or something and I'm looking for pieces of Legos, basically. Like, what's the shape that's already out there? What already exists that's basically what I need, but maybe something totally different. Like the bedsides on the flatbed are loading ramps, but they are like basically perfect for bedsides, and they're already out there. So yeah, I feel like I'll probably mention that a few times, but Legos is a huge part of of setting me up, I think, to be able to do building. And I encourage other people to, if they're trying to get into building, grab some Lego Technic sets and mess around, because it teaches you a really basic and a really solid practical structural engineering, like hands-on. Like you'll learn basic shapes and how things are supported and what you can pull off and what you can't pull off with Legos really easily.
I think that's amazing as far as just how you described your process of going to the store and finding something a similar shape that's already out there. I think personally for me, let's say like 10 years ago, I would find that difficult because I'd say, well, that's not, I'm at a hardware store. This is meant for, you know, plumbing something into a house. This isn't meant for automotive. But then it's kind of like, just leave your ego at the door here for a second, son. And like, this'll work, you know? Has there been like a bit of a tension there within yourself? Like, wait, like how did you cross through that? Or have you always been, because of the Lego, just like, hey, this looks fine. This will work. These ramps will work. You know, do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think I personally never felt like, oh, I couldn't use this because it's meant for some other industry. I think, like you said, that has to do with kind of just looking at things through that lens, kind of like Lego pieces where you're like, yep, this fits the bill. It's made out of the material I want. It's the basic shape, or it's 90% of what I'm looking for, you know, like, oh, this is like, oh, all I have to do is cut this piece off, or all I have to do is modify this piece. Like, yeah, I think that's really helpful it's kind of like thinking outside the box, but it's really just like removing the labels from everything and being like, oh, looking through a parts bin and being like, who cares where it came from? Like, this is going to be perfect for what I'm going to use it for.
Totally. That's awesome.
A creative mind too, to be able to look at something and say, oh, I could use that. And if I tweak this a little bit or cut this and bend this and perfect, that'll work for my sliding or flip up, you know, luggage rack or something to have that mindset too, which from the Lego, or whatever that was, just tinkering and having that confidence of saying, hey, I can make that. I can use that and make it to what I need so I don't have to start from scratch.
Yeah, I think it helps. Like I said, get some Legos, guys.
Yeah, do it.
I'm going to get some for my kids now. Yeah. You guys have to play with Lego Technics 2 hours a day.
Yeah. Don't do that. I tried doing that with my son. Like, I was like, I really want him to learn to play Legos. And he's only 6 now. We're just turned 6. But I started him playing, you know, I was building Legos with him since he was like 2, and he never really really got into it, except until the last, like, I'd say like 3 months. He's been building them, but like he'd play with them for a little bit and he put them away. But now he's just like, it's his favorite thing. And that's cool. The stuff he's building is just like so fun to watch. Like, he's so creative, like all these different little features and stuff. I'm, I'm very happy as a father with that one.
That's awesome. Of course, as you
he
should
couldn't
be.
Force him to do it. I'm glad he figured it out like on his own. He likes
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. So if you wouldn't mind, let's yep. walk through the build, this Tacoma build. Like what got you started? Where'd you get the truck? What got you started? Was it like a family heirloom or did you just find one? You're like, I want to build it up. And then just take us through that whole process.
Yeah. So no family heirloom, nothing. It's been just like every vehicle I've owned since the first car I've ever owned has been through Craigslist and used. And this one just happened to be a couple streets down from me. I had just sold one of our other vehicles and we had just moved basically from Santa Monica in California, which is like, you know, busy metropolitan area to the Central Coast, which still has like a lot of dirt roads and we're at the beach all the time, dirt parking lots. And we had the vehicle I had just sold was a BMW sedan, like all lowered and awesome for the city, but just getting thrashed, like going to the beach and back. So I was like, you know what, it's time to swap that one out for something a little more suited for our life now. And I'd always wanted to get a four-wheel drive pickup and do something. I've had four-wheel drive vehicles before, but I never had one that was like a dedicated off-road vehicle. So I was like, oh, now's the time to like be able to get one of these, and started looking around. I picked the Toyota Tacoma, the one that I have, based on one price range. I had a stack of cash from selling the last one, so I knew I wanted to spend less than that or equivalent to that. I didn't want to do a loan, so I was looking for something used. And then having kids, I knew I needed to have four doors and have rear seats. I wanted it to be kind of cool. Like, I mean, I was like looking around what there was. I was like, basically, long story short, like the only thing available for a used pickup, like around $10,000 or less, that's four-wheel drive, that has four doors, is like a F-250, which is really big, or like a F-150, which just isn't that cool and still kind of big.
Yeah.
I mean, the F-150s are rad, but that year that was affordable, or like a four-door F-250 diesel. But it just like all those options were just kind of like, I almost went with a first gen Dodge Cummins four-door four-wheel drive. Ooh. And this was before they skyrocketed in price.
Yeah.
This would have been like a really early 90s one, but, and I looked and looked and looked and I found a few, but I never found like the one to jump on. So those were all like cycling through, like anything four-door that wasn't like monstrously huge, like a four-door long bed full-size truck is, was on my radar. And then this one just popped up a couple streets over and I was like, oh, fits the bill, like, you know, rear locker, four-wheel drive, single family owner, you know, good price, and only two streets down. So I was like, well, why not? Like, I'm not gonna lose out. Like, I'm pretty sure at the price, I'll be able to resell it. And actually, it was funny because it was up for $6,500, and nowadays that's like extremely rare.
$15,000.
Yeah.
Now they're like $15,000 to $20,000, which is crazy. But at the time, I was like, 6,500, and it has 2,000 miles on it, or 200,000 miles on it. I was like, I don't know. I was like, no, I'm gonna wait. And then I called him. Then I went back the next day, and he's like, dude, I had so many people wanting to buy it out of state, I had to raise the price. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll buy it. And so I bought it for like $7,500 from the original family. They had all the paperwork and maintenance records and stuff, so I was really felt comfortable with that. And bone stock, except that it had a camper shell that was made for it, you know, color matched and stuff, made when he bought it. And that was the beginning of the build. I think that was February 2019.
So then, okay, so you get this and you're like, okay, sweet. And then as a any maker is never satisfied with the status quo and with, you know, how it came stock. So what was your,
yeah, I look pretty lame.
What was your next step?
Literally the same day I bought a bumper off Craigslist, like 3 hours later.
Of course you did. Yeah.
Yeah. I found an awesome bumper. Some guy was selling on Craigslist and it just said, you know, Toyota. It wasn't actually for the same year I had, maybe, or I think it was an earlier generation truck. But I just cut it a little bit. That was like one of the first things I did. I brought it home and I tried to put it on and I was like, oh, this is not going to fit. And I was looking at it. I was like, that's such a bummer. And then I was like, wait, but I think I would fit if I just cut this off. And I was like, sick, it fits. That was like the beginning of like, yeah, the angle grinder is just incredible. It could cut through anything. So yeah, first day, rear bumper change. And then I had already in mind, you know, I want to change the wheels. I want to change the tires. I'm going to do like a mild lift, like just the basics, you know, and I already have like an aesthetic that appeals to me. So I kind of had that and knew where I was going with it. But that was the first thing, bumper.
That's cool. This is exactly why I wanted to have you on the show, because the bumper didn't work, didn't fit. And then you're like, yeah, hey, wait, I have a grinder.
Let's modify it.
I recommend that as one of your first tool acquisitions would be an angle grinder and a pair of safety glasses and some ear protection.
There we go. We don't even have to answer our last question. Top three.
Oh, yeah.
So you built your truck with the grinder.
That's kind of one.
Safety glasses. Yeah. So what with the camper and the flatbed, like was it kind of a slower process of you went through the bumper, did your lift, tires and stuff, and was it just kind of piece by piece, or did you have this whole plan formulated once you got it, or did it kind of take time to come to fruition?
The latter, yeah, definitely took time to come through. Like, so I had, you know, I've had vehicles in the past. I've changed every single one of them to some degree. You know, I like to exercise my own ability to tweak them to my aesthetic. You know, I've had the BMW was one of the first that I like started paying attention to and just changing aesthetically. And I also was kind of teaching me about how you could change vehicles less than most people would assume. And you don't necessarily have to do it through hiring like vendors. Like basically the Beamer, I had the stock wheels. It was a sport. It was a, for anyone who's thinking, interested in it, it was a 335D, which is a diesel four-door sports package Beamer.
Oh, cool.
So it had paddle shifters and it was lowered from the factory, had the bigger wheels. But I just did some basic things, like had the wheels powder coated black. All vehicles in all my existence have had black wheels because I just like that. And just little things like little wheel spacers, powder coating the wheels, little changes here. And then I also had a Porsche Cayenne Turbo, which I bought on Craigslist for like only $8,500. And this one looked really ugly. And I ended up changing a bunch of it just at home, like blacked out the trim with vinyl, changed the dash, changed the wheels, did all these little aesthetic changes just at home that were just really minor tweaks, basically color schemes, simplifying kind of the badging and that kind of stuff. And it just looked so much better. I wish I could show a picture of it right now, but I could send it to you later. But that kind of got me started on the vehicle, like at home changing stuff with your cars. So I knew when I got the truck, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. Like I was looking at it kind of with, I guess maybe like a photography type of eye, like I'm looking at it like, okay, what am I going to change here? Like I'm going to tweak this to make it look what I wanted. So I had a plan from the beginning as far as like the aesthetic I wanted. And that started with changing the bumper, changing the tires, changing the wheels, which is why I had those steel wheels. I just love the like simple, understated kind of military, utilitarian kind of vibe. Just kind of snowballed from there as far as like the changes I wanted. Like I did rock sliders. It was the first welding project I think I did when I had the welder. And basically built the truck up from stock to like fully armored with front and rear bumpers, rock sliders, roof racks, front and back, and just kind of all ready like that. And I had a camper shell and I made a little DIY like setup for sleeping in the back. And that worked awesome. So that was like kind of the whole truck like evolved to being like pretty much exactly how I wanted it, as with a stock bed and a camper. I made an awning for it. All the metalwork on it was all like projects, and I think it's on my Instagram or YouTube, but eventually happened and what kind of drove me to build the camper was I was going on trips with it and bringing my son, and he just started growing. And
weird how that works.
Eventually the camper shell just became too small. And so that's what started like the desire to try and change it to better fit how I was using it now that he was too big. So that's kind of a long roundabout answer to, yeah, I had a plan, but it changed to the flatbed and camper after about a year and a half.
So after you've been using it and dialing it in and building it to what you need it to do as a vehicle.
Yeah. That's like my driving. I try and stick to that is like make changes based on how you use the whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that could be like, maybe you need to take off the mud train tires because you are doing road trips all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Like it may not be the popular opinion, but I think that's how you're going to be most satisfied with whatever you're working on.
Yeah, you get the most utility out of it that way, for sure. I was just wondering, so you're trying to, it's overland under budget, right? Do you get any hate or any, you know, any naysayers or anything for doing it on the cheap and for not necessarily buying the crazy name brand stuff or just making your way through that? Or have you experienced more of more people respect that DIY aspect that you're trying to show them how to save some money?
I think surprisingly, it's definitely the latter. Like
okay,
people,
good.
I don't know if maybe people don't want to just take the time to reach out and say like, hey dude, it's crap, like you should have bought something.
Yeah.
But for the most part, people are like, oh, good on you, like that's cool, like you're doing this. I mean, there's some, and I guess the overland under budget part too, like part of it, I think people think like, oh, this guy's all about saving money. I'm totally about spending whatever it costs if it's the best product or the best solution out there. But there's lots of times where spending the money is just that amount of money is just not necessary. It's kind of like buying a gold spatula in some cases, right? It's like, you don't need the gold one to flip your pancake. You could use the stainless steel one or whatever. So there's some products like that where you're like, you don't need to spend that on that premium one. And then there's some products that totally make sense. Like the winch that I have is a worn winch, is a premium winch. It's, I want a really great winch, one I can rely on, one I'm not second guessing whenever I actually need to use the winch. Same thing with the tires, you know, you're not like trying to find like used bald tires. Like everyone's pretty much running the best tire they can get. There's a lot of things like that where it's like, yeah, it makes sense to spend the money. But the other side of that is that sometimes there's just not a product on the market that is exactly what you're looking for. And that's honestly probably closer to my mission than just saving money. Like I wasn't just like, okay, I have to have a roof rack, but I can't afford it. Let me just find the cheapest option. It was more like, I want my roof rack to be slim. I want it to be mounted as low profile as possible. I don't want to drill into the roof, and nobody makes that. Like, how can I make it? And then, yeah, I'm not going to go, you know, to the store and just buy titanium and buy the most expensive piece or go straight to like, what are these made out of? Like, let me just buy parts for it. Like, that's kind of more the under budget part to me that I feel like probably is not conveyed so well on my profile because people probably gravitate to the username under budget. But yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, 100%.
People are receptive to DIY, I think. And it's funny. I mean, I work with some great companies who make very expensive premium products, and there's never been an issue with that.
That's cool.
And you're building a solution for a problem. You want a roof rack that's slimmer and you can't find that in the marketplace. So you build it. The pullout on the camper. Are you going to be able to find one of those? Probably not. You can get the in-bed ones, but those are quite expensive. And again, not tailored because it needs the product for what you want to use it. And if you've got some kind of far out idea of, I want to do this to it, you're not going to find that. So to be able to say, you know what, let's step it back. Let's design it. Make it for the purpose we want to use it for. I want to use it for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and especially when you get into the more like, okay, I'm basically creating the back of a the whole back of a truck. Like, yeah. You're not going to be finding stuff out there that's like, oh yeah, we made that for you. Yeah. So it helps to be thinking through that way too. But yeah, that's also probably one of the most enjoyable aspects. I mean, I say this before too, it's like, nobody's forcing me to do this. Like, I'm literally doing this because I enjoy it. So that's one of the things I enjoy about it, is coming up, is finding, trying to find like the best solution I can think of, the most aesthetically pleasing, the most simply designed, the most like beautiful looking thing that I'm trying to create. Like right now I'm trying to work on a bike rack for the back of my camper, but I'm having to work around like a couple of things. Like the rear slide comes out. I don't want to inhibit the use of that rear slide. I want it to be high clearance, so I'm not like, oh, I got the bike rack on, I can't take it on the trail. I don't want to degrade at all from all the thought and time I put into building the camper the way it is and the way it works. I just want it to be able to hold my bike really well, close, tight, like all this stuff. So it's like, it's actually quite a bit. I've been staring at the back of my truck for a long time trying to figure out how to do it. And yeah, but that's like the fun part of it. Like, I love the mental puzzle. I love just kind of like sitting and just trying to visualize like, how is this going to work? How can I do it? And then that's also, you know, the majority of the gratification is when I finally come up with something that I'm happy with. It's just like, it's really fun.
And you said you're not an engineer, and yet you're designing and building these, constantly improving. Like, there, that Lego Connects definitely paid off there.
Yeah, it's something I love to do. So,
having completed the Tacoma, or maybe not, what would be a dream build of yours if you could do anything? Have a dream vehicle. What would that build be?
That's a good question. I think the answer would be, there'd probably be multiple. It's more of like scenario based, you know, like, hey, you're going to go like to Alaska and live in Alaska for 3 months, and you need a vehicle that's like going to do that. So then I feel like I would pick out like, you know, something based on that. But I don't really have like a absolute dream vehicle per se. Yeah, that's a poor answer, but I'm trying to think, like, there's not really any particular one that I'm just like dying to have. I've always thought it'd be cool to, what's that?
Maybe you're working on it right now and you don't know it, and you're constantly trying to improve and better.
I think what would be like, if I could, like, would be my truck slightly bigger with like a supercharged V8 or a like a turbocharged Cummins. So I've been thinking of maybe doing like a Dodge, like a 1996 Dodge Cummins four-wheel drive, and doing a flatbed with a camper, similar design to mine, obviously unlimited power with the Cummins, and just have more space to kind of do what I've done on here would be fun. Like, that was another thing with Legos. You were always constricted. Like, the smaller you made the Lego project, the less options you had, because you had to compact everything. Kind of goes along with the truck too. It's like, it'd be nice to not be worrying about total weight of the vehicle and quite as much. But yeah, I guess I don't have a dream vehicle. There's just a ton that out there that I really need.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So getting into like continuing on this idea of DIY and that type of thing, for someone who wants to get started in dabbling and getting into DIY kind of things, do you have any advice for someone who wants to get started in this type of area?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot, and I would just say, you know, start small. Don't try and take on the whole project at once, and just kind of take it into little bites. I mean, if you've never done any DIY projects, never built anything, like whatever it may be, like, just start small. Like, pick a project, like building a coffee table, or I guess if it's vehicle based, you know, something. It's kind of hard to give someone advice like, hey, I'm just starting DIY, like, you have an advice for me? It's like, well, what are you starting on? You know, if you're just starting DIY and you're hoping to build an entire vehicle from scratch, then like, you got a kind of a long road. But if that's what you want to do, I would say start with the simplest thing. If you need a tool to complete it, pick up, you know, go and buy those tools, either buy them used like a garage sale or Craigslist, or buy them from the store, buy quality tools, because if you are going to be doing DIY and building stuff, it's awesome to have quality tools that last, and it pays off in the end. And then, yeah, just try and be thoughtful about how you're making it. Think through like how it's going to be used, and have fun with it. And don't be afraid to learn. And by that, I mean, like, don't be afraid to go through it and have it totally not work out. Don't give up at that point. Just try again, you know? Yeah. So no like amazing advice for anybody other than give it a try. Don't be too hard on yourself. And yeah.
And you're going to fail and you got to work through it. And that's probably where the biggest learning comes from.
Yeah. And I don't even think you necessarily have to fail. Like, I don't think anyone setting out to build like a coffee table is not going to build like a flat surface with legs on it. It just may not be the greatest flat surface with legs on it. So you just got to be able to take that in stride and then look at it and be like, oh, you know, this is what I could improve on and make those improvements. And for me, I like to try and get through all those iterations in my mind before I start, you know, draw it out, think about it, you know, what if happens if this happens, or can it do this, or would it be better like that? And then, yeah, do that as much as you can. Proof it in your mind and then go for the first one, and yeah, go for it.
So with the advice that you had talked about, what about like some technical skill sets that people should or that are important to develop in this area, whether it's, take for your example, this vehicle building and modification, what would be some skill sets that are important to develop?
I mean, for one, I don't really have any specific skill sets that are amazing. I think if I have one skill set that stand out, it might be just the openness to try stuff and to like use tools, you know, thinking of like the solution in the end and coming up with whatever method it is to make it happen, whether it's like using an angle grinder, whether it's using a plasma cutter, whether it's all just means to an end. So I've been limited at times with what tools I have, and you can figure something out. But I'd say just like practice, you know, practice with like if someone wanted to start working on a project and you just gave them an entire professional garage of every tool imaginable, yeah, it would help their project. But that'd be kind of like someone handing you a skill saw, big, you know, circular saw with a 10-inch blade on it the first time, and be like, hey, cut this perfect 45. Like on this 2x4, like, yeah, they're going to cut it, but it's not going to be, you know, like you got to build up just like a kind of get comfortable with the tools and all the tools you're going to be using, comfortable with the drill, comfortable with the cutoff wheel on the angle grinder. And like, just kind of getting familiar with using power tools is probably like, I don't know, 70% of the tool skills that you need. So that could be, you know, shop at high school. It could be community college stuff. It could be helping your buddy out who might be a contractor, or popping in, you know, maybe you never worked on your car before and your buddy has, and be like, hey dude, can you come over and like help me change the tire? Like as simple as that. It's like, basically, are you able to use tools? You know, like, are you familiar with them? That's probably a great starting point. And that's basically the skill set you need, is just be comfortable with tools.
Yeah. And potentially you be creative with how to use those if you're limited in the tools that you do have. And well, I really need this tool, but I don't have it. So if I got this, how can I make that work? And
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, you have cutting tools and you have uncutting tools.
It's like, a good classification.
You're putting holes awesome. In things or cutting stuff in half, or the other one, you're putting it back together. So there's a variety of different options out there, and not all of them work great for every situation, but usually, you know, you can get away with one or something.
So. Yeah, I love that. Cutting tools and uncutting tools. Speaking of tools, Micah, if you had to pick three tools, if you only had three tools that you could suggest to someone just starting out in DIY or working on their car or fabrication, what are the three must-haves? I know you covered three of them earlier. Are those on that list? Or what do you think?
Yeah, so I'd like to use one bonus tool set to just say that safety gear doesn't count in these three tools.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's just, you have one set of eyeballs, you got one set of ears, you're never going to get another pair. So I just want to put that out there first, is definitely always have safety glasses on and always have ear protection on. So besides those are cheap. You can go to the hardware store and get a pair of safety glasses and some earplugs. So, but as far as tools go, if you're getting into automotive projects, you're most likely going to be working with metal. So I would suggest getting an angle grinder. They're usually $50 or less, and you can attach a bunch of different stuff to it. You can use it for sanding with fiber disc. You can use it on wood sanding and rounding corners and beveling stuff. You can use it on metal. Obviously, you could cut through just about as thick as you can imagine, just if you have enough time, with a cutoff wheel and an angle grinder. It's amazing. So angle grinder is probably my top one, because one, it's super cheap and it's extremely versatile. So angle grinder would be one. I would say a drill, like a quality drill, is another one. You're going to want to be able to put holes in stuff and bolt things together. So angle grinder, and then you got your drill. And if you had to choose one more in the beginning, like a power tool, I mean, I want to say welder, but I'm not suggesting people just go buy a welder if they've never done anything, you know, like base nothing, you know. Trying to think what other ones I just use like all the time. Basically what I use is a drill and an angle grinder and a welder all the time. So yeah, maybe a welder would be the next one. But you know, that's like leaving out, like, I have a full set of like socket wrenches and spanners and some clamps and a vise and all those little things that you can pick up when you're working on stuff. But yeah, for the majority of you need a hammer too. So you could throw that in there.
There we go.
Budget tools would be angle grinder, a drill, and a hammer. You should be able to get a lot done with that.
Awesome. Well, Micah, I just want to say thank you for coming on the show. This has been awesome.
Yeah.
You provided some great great insights into getting things done. I use it on a budget, but also just with creativity, right? And ingenuity. And it's been really cool just picking your brain on things and hearing like where you're at on stuff. So before we head out, I'd like you to just share what you have going on, where people can find you, and anything else you want to promote before we end the show.
Yeah, I mean, if people want to follow more stuff I'm doing, I'm on Instagram, I'm on YouTube. It's under the same name, and I have a website as well. It's all Overland Under Budget, one word. So on Instagram at Overland Under Budget, YouTube.com/Overland Under Budget, and then OverlandUnderBudget.com. Those would be all the places you can look out and see kind of stuff I'm working on. I'm often sharing details on stuff I'm projects and stuff, and I try to get back to people messaging me on questions and stuff too. Can't get to all of them, but yeah. And right now, as far as projects I'm working on the vehicle, it's, you know, just kind of continuing to perfect the camper for how I use it. And I'm working on a bike rack, since I'm bringing my mountain bike all the time with me. And yeah, thanks you guys. I really appreciate the offer to come on the podcast and build a chat, and hopefully people can get something out of it. If anything, buy Legos. Go buy some Legos.
Once again, big thanks to Micah for coming on the show. Thank you as well for listening. All of Micah's information and links will be in the show notes of this episode, along with all the ways that you can get a hold of us as well. Once again, thanks a lot, Micah. We really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Hoff.
Thanks, Rosie.